All right, and welcome back to another edition of All Damn Night. I'm your host, Brandon Richardson, with our co-host,
Sean Demers.
Sean, thanks for coming back.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Always good to have you here, too, as well. This is the podcast where we hang out all damn night, and it's the podcast to hang out and party to. We just talk about music history, and we're not particularly qualified to do so, but fuck it.
We sell ourselves short a lot. But
I think we really do, yeah.
I think we have to set the bar low, though.
Yeah, but then we're going to go way over it.
Way over it. Yeah.
So, into this week, if you're not familiar with what we do here, usually Sean or I will research a topic, and the other person has no idea what it is. This week, I'm the one researching. Sean is the one that has no idea what we're about to talk about. Sean, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, last week I was Top Gun, so I kind of feel...
I'm taking it a little demoted. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't. You're just as important. I mean, Sean, we have a good time on this podcast. We hang out. We shoot the shit. We learn a little. We laugh a little. And in the end, we provide a service to the world that is, in all modesty, it's incalculable.
Oh, definitely.
The value of which cannot be calculated.
Countries use our word as currency.
They could put us on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
And it still wouldn't be... They could carve our faces into the stone. They could
steal native people's land and then their mountain carve our faces into, and it still...
We deserve more. But we're not going to get it, so that's not the point. We're doing this because...
I would at least like a ship named after me or something.
I think that's fair.
All right.
It's fair. But sometimes, though, as you can tell, I feel like all the glitz and the glamour of the podcast world, you get caught up in it a little bit. Sure, like the rest of us... You got into this game.
That'll be good.
You got into this game for the booze, the money, the women, and the power. Of course. But Sean, I see you falling deeper and deeper into the crags of this cutthroat industry. And as your friend, I think it's time I stepped in and put a little perspective on your life.
Uh-oh.
I'm here to help.
I feel like my mind's about to be blown or something.
So, Sean.
I'm ready.
I just want to ask you a few simple questions before we get...
I may or may not have some answers.
Well, nothing complicated. I truly believe this will be a life-changing episode for you. Sean, are you ready to make a change?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so answer these questions and don't you fucking lie to me.
All right, bring it on. Okay. I'm ready.
So, Sean, we'll cover a couple of these here. Have you ever debased a nation's currency?
What is... Yes.
Yes or no answers, Sean.
Yes.
Have you ever been a professional critic?
Paid? What's professional mean?
It's a yes or no answer.
No.
Have you ever engaged in piracy?
Yes.
Have you ever made love to a dead body?
Yes.
Have you ever been a pimp?
Yeah, that's a yes and no.
Have you ever exterminated a species?
No.
Have you ever been a professional executioner?
No.
Have you given robots a bad name?
What are we talking
Have you given
about?
Robots a bad name, Sean?
Yeah.
One more question.
Yeah, because sometimes the human touch is what makes a robot obsolete.
These are yes or no answers.
Well,
are you in hiding?
No.
Two more questions. Is anybody looking for you?
No.
And last question. Have you ever killed the wrong person?
Person? No.
Okay. Give me just a second to analyze these results here. Yep. Sean, you're giving robots a bad name.
What does it say? What is the...
I have your solution. What you need is Scientology. Welcome to All Damn Night. What is Scientology, you ask? What is it, you ask? Go ahead and ask it, Sean.
This is really a question for Tom Cruise.
Oh, Tom Cruise doesn't even know.
You know what? I guess you're right.
I'll tell you right now. I did a lot of research. Scientology is a set of beliefs created by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes.
Hubbard wrote a self-help book called Dianetics that explored the relationship between body and mind. He wrote it in 1950. In 1952, he expanded upon the success of Dianetics by creating Scientology. Hubbard then incorporated the Church of Scientology in 1953.
It gives religion a bad name. And robots.
Well, I was going to say, it also, I mean, it doesn't help the robot name either. Yeah. We're going to talk, do you know what Scientologists believe?
I think it's about as ridiculous as I could make up.
So, I'd say it's more than that. So
Scientologists. I'm going to say something about like a volcano full of aliens.
Man, really not far. That's pretty good. Okay. Scientologists believe that this is all taken from dummies.com, believe it or not. That's the first place I looked.
Scientology for dummies?
It was something like that, yeah.
Scientology for Catholics.
Scientologists believe that people are immortal alien beings called Thetans, who have forgotten their true nature and are trapped on Earth in a human body. Scientologists believe that each Thetan has lived numerous past lives, both on Earth in our physical bodies and on other planets. Scientologists also believe that by undergoing a series of classes and teaching called auditing, people can free themselves from their human form and reclaim their true selves.
Simple. I would so much rather drink.
Well, I mean, that's basically the path that 99% of the world takes.
It sounds like a money making scheme.
Sean, come on.
Well,
maybe it's you don't understand yet. Okay, so Scientology.
What happened? All right, so what if this was just a Scooby-Doo cartoon? It would be the greatest, but it went too far.
This is way beyond a Scooby-Doo cartoon. The Church of Scientology is legally recognized as a religion with tax
exempt status. Yeah, they don't have to pay taxes. No. That's right.
It's recognized as a religion with tax exempt status in 8 countries, including the United States.
Eight countries,
including the United States, Australia, many other countries.
Well, I mean, Australia, come on.
Well, it's also a continent, to be fair. They're both. They're the only place that's a continent and a country.
Right.
To Canada's credit, and the United Kingdom, France, and Germany refused to grant Scientology an official religious status.
And Ron Hubbard's not allowed in those countries, is there?
Get into that, but no, yeah, he became such kind of a well-known charlatan and scheme runner that he was not allowed in several countries. But Brandon, you ask.
Brandon.
What does any of this have to do with a music history podcast?
What does this have to do with a music history
podcast? Well, I'm glad that you asked, Sean, because L. Ron Hubbard was more than just a spiritual and technological guru, who was also the most published fiction author of all time.
I can believe that.
He has a Guinness World Record for most published. He is a musical mastermind before his quote-unquote death, if you believe in such things.
No way.
He wrote, composed, produced, or participated in a series of albums from the 70s until he had dozens and dozens of posthumous works until the early 2000s.
This is blowing my mind already. You weren't kidding.
In the summer of 1974.
Wait.
You know what? Yes, we do need to hold up for just a second. I need to explain this whole bit about him being not allowed in countries, right?
Okay.
He became exiled from a bunch of different countries. So he decided to take to the sea.
And become
a Sea Org.
Yep.
So they had the Sea Org.
They bought like this old like cattle moving African cattle moving ship.
Called the Apollo. And he wanted to. He called himself the Commodore because he had a background in the Navy. So there's a lot of like nautical terms. His record is real spotty.
But he blew up an island.
Yeah, he claims all this bullshit. Yeah, it's all this. Like he claims to have all these medals that he doesn't have, and he's like just so full of shit. So he gets the ship and he wants to improve public relations for it by getting let into all these countries. He's like, well, I need to improve my image so that some countries will let me in.
Okay.
He decides to stage free concerts and dance performances for the local residents at the ports that they stop at.
Oh, that's awesome. After hours,
he sits in front of the television for hours.
All night at the Apollo.
On the Apollo.
On the Apollo. Yeah.
Or slightly off the Apollo.
On the dock at the Apollo. At the slip where the Apollo is moored.
Within the vicinity of what is not actually the Apollo.
Within earshot of the wheelhouse.
A former cattle ship. So he starts calling himself the Commodore, and in the summer of 1974, he decides he's going to start hosting. He spent all summer watching television, and he became... He really believed he considered himself an expert on modern popular music and modern dance, and he believed he'd made a bunch of important discoveries watching television all summer about the nature of rock music and the need for a strong, heavy beat. He often demonstrated his theories to a mystified group of followers on the ship, and he was able to put his ideas into practice with his own band, the Apollo Stars, made up of volunteers from the crew on the ship, chosen at auditions conducted by L. Ron Hubbard, hereby referred to as LRH, with all the confidence and aplomb of a man who had spent a lifetime in show business. So he's sitting there like, I got this all figured out.
He is the Simon Cowell. The original Simon Cowell.
The original Simon Cowell.
Oh, man.
He's Simon Cowell if Simon Cowell had a sea-based church.
If Simon Cowell was not a clone, he might be a clone of L. Ron Hubbard.
I mean, I don't think that would work out in the time continuum. But, you know.
Well, you never know.
I don't think that he has the Scientology.
I need at least 5 followers on my side that Simon Cowell panache. What a good vocab.
You're going to see. Thank you. You're going to see just how the guy might have been a total piece of shit and a con artist, but he had big brass ones. He just didn't give a shit.
So. Before we get into this, I want to stay as completely unbiased as possible. Because when you got here today in the studio, I was listening to Van Halen.
Yes. No, you were listening to Yes.
I was listening to Yes, but before you got here, it was Van Halen. And then after you got here, it was Van Halen. And then talk about a whole bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, show business assholes making a whole bunch of money. Weird followers.
No, see, there's a lot of content, like lines of, what would you call it, degrees of connection.
Separation?
I guess so. Like we were talking about Kevin Bacon being associated with essentially every one of these 7.5 billion people on Earth.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is now. But
me personally, when I was on Apollo 13,
Listen, you're no LRH. You were never in space, Sean. That's why we're having this talk.
I saw this interview on like Letterman of, what's his name? Castaway guy.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. He said, Letterman was like, who's the best smelling actor you've ever worked with? And he was like, Kevin Bacon. Without even like pausing for a moment.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
So LRH decides to have all these, he conducts all these auditions.
Wait. I didn't get my point across. So... All right, what do you remember in like elementary school when you had to watch the planets and then it was symphonic music with like synthesizers and orchestras set to
astronomy
of you know the solar system our solar system and I imagine like L. Ron would be part of that production. That's what my immediate reaction.
Oh, that's a very very good prediction. It's not too far off at all. And so, actually, he gets to... Oh boy, it's tough not to skip ahead here.
Well,
because your prediction is so
I can take it back.
It's so good. No, not at all. No, it's so good. We'll talk about here this first album. I was going to say it is... people try to draw all these delineations between Scientology and other religions or Scientology and other show business aspects and stuff or Scientology and other corporations like McDonald's and Apple. But there is so much... we're not going to get in this podcast into the deep intricacies and dark secrets of Scientology
This is not
if you want to hear that, like there's several other, I would recommend podcasts that I listened for this episode where like Ron Miscavige, who is the head of Scientology, David Miscavige's father, who got him into Scientology. So he's a real kind of OG Scientologist. Leah Remini.
Okay.
Also did a Joe Rogan experience and several other podcasts.
Against it.
Yeah, she was a former Scientologist. Grew up, her parents, her entire family is in the church. Also, Lad's podcast on the left did an extensive series on L. Ron Hubbard. So we're not going to, like, you can listen to all of that right. and get a grasp of, like, all the deep, dark
secrets. We're talking about the music side.
Yeah, but point being that there are not, like, in, as a whole, the amount of money that they are extorting from people, the way that they are, it's an intel, an, akin to, like, little prison camps that they're putting people in and making them work and maintain these elaborate grounds and put on these events, which we'll get into later. And the music all became a part of that, this self and self-contained entity. It was all part of that. It was all with the purpose of promoting Scientology and exploiting the audience of Scientology and really hailing the genius of L. Ron Hubbard. Like, what? All of this is about L. Ron Hubbard's self-promotion and him being a genius and him having all the answers, and it gets...
he was selling his himself. He was selling his right. ideas. What if people... Scientology would not be so bad if people just did it for fun.
No, and that's several people have said that.
All right, so maybe this guy had something correct. Was he the first live-action role player?
No, and I think he's just a shithead. Like, you could...
Yeah, but Van Halen's a bunch of shitheads, too. But I love listening to Van Halen.
Right, they're just not exploiting people. Fun. And keeping people from public appearances or making people disappear.
Well, Sammy Hagar now is pissing in tequila bottles.
No one's seen him for years. but we're not going to get into the... If you want to, those are a couple resources. Those will post those in the sources. Yeah. I thought about that a lot. What kind of... there are some parallels, but as far as Scientology is pretty... stands alone in its diversity and the amount of mediums through which it has used to exploit its right. followers. Like, it is sucked in all these people in this very, very... I mean, it's all over the world, but in this very concentrated area in Southern California, it's created this... especially in Hollywood, it is so well entrenched and so litigious. Like, they are willing to...
Litigious.
They're so willing to sue anybody and come after anybody. Right. Which it's like, and I mean, go fuck yourself.
But see, they have the money to pay for these top dog lawyers.
Hopefully they won't come after podcaster, simple podcaster peasants.
Jeez.
Go fuck yourselves.
And try getting feathers from a frog, motherfucker.
Well, this we're just promoting LRH here. Alright. LRH could have got feathers from a frog. He put together the band, they put out an album called The Power of Source.
Okay.
And we're gonna come over here and we're gonna show Sean a picture of Power of Source. We're gonna do a little sample here, a little review of the material. They're all at Sea Org, and these guys are his house band for his ship. Look at fucking LRH at the producer's helm.
I imagine him like on a theremin or something.
That's coming up. So we're going to listen to some Apollo Stars here. Very possibly the worst music ever made.
Say that again.
Very possibly the worst music
what
ever
the
made.
Fuck was that?
Awful.
It's horrible.
Oh shit.
We're going. No, we're LRH playing better. Woo!
Get you some. And if any of these musicians missed a note, they had to pay him a fine.
Like James Brown.
Yeah, but in a jazz album.
Okay.
Listen to this frantic fucking
this
madness.
This is like Miles Davis, way into heroin.
You're just beating on a snare drum. It's not like a 4-year-old on a snare. What is happening here? It's just a bunch of people that run the ship.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, who can we get?
To his credit, it is very difficult to play any instrument on a rock in the middle of the fucking ocean.
He's a rock
ocean.
In the fucking hands like he's just moving. He's like, look at him. He just discovered the Beastie Boys.
This is the original Beats. Beats by LRH.
Beats by LRH. It's not even halfway through. It's a half hour of this.
This is one song.
And people stuck around for a little bit?
They had to. They just sat on the fucking boat, and this was the house band.
So he invited them onto the boat.
They were already on. They were Scientologists living on the boat, and he was like, we need a band.
Oh, I thought he was going into port and trying to entertain.
Yeah, so they get off the ship, and they go off onto the little dock or whatever, set up, and they play this horrible, shitty music for the people in the ports.
Oh, man.
So that is the power. That's his initial foray into songwriting and music, rivaling Bob Dylan, the Beatles. Mozart, Bach.
I wouldn't go that far.
John, then you're not paying attention enough to the episode.
I'd say it's like a real, real shitty jazz high school band or something like that.
Well, let's not put down high school kids.
No.
I don't think they're that bad. So years later, on an ex-Scientology message board, this guy says, so he says that their best work was actually never brought to light. He said, none of you ever, this is a quote from him, none of you ever got to hear any of the other incredible albums we recorded. We recorded others. To this day, I don't know why they never got mixed and put onto vinyl, and I so wish I had copies of those tapes for personal reasons. I wonder if they still exist and may one day surface as the Lost Apollo Stars tapes, which I guess he's already titled them. One cassette tape I recorded during a kick-ass band rehearsal, which contained 15 of our later songs. My God, they had 15 songs.
On one cassette?
Ugh. I sent to my mom back in 1974. I got it back, but then lost it sometime.
He didn't have a mother.
No. I got it back, but then I lost it sometime in the recent 2000s. I hate myself for this is the last sentence on the post.
Have you ever heard this man speak?
No, I imagine it sounds like a mix between Mickey Mouse and like...
All right, before you get any further, the first step is mouthful of marbles.
It sounds like Donald Sutherland with a mouthful of marbles. So one could be forgiven for thinking that after changing the game as he had done.
He was a speed freak, too. So, that totally explains...
Alleged.
That totally explains why... He was.
He's just.
His music
out.
Was like that. Play this music.
So you would think.
So wait, he was only the producer, or did he?
Yeah, he didn't play on it.
Musical talent.
He's the producer and kind of the band director.
I said that really politically incorrect. So you have. He was the producer, but could not play an instrument.
Yes, could not. Okay. Well, he could play organ, and he played some other stuff, but he's not on that recording.
Okay.
So one could be forgiven for thinking that after changing the game as he had done, L. Ron would call it quits, right? Move on to greater things. Start a sports apparel line or whatever. But no. Instead, the fearless genius secluded himself for years, often comparing himself to Thoreau and writing Walden, and toiled for years on music which he felt could spread the message of Scientology and ultimately change the world, Sean.
All right. So I grew up literally on Walden Pond. So that guy...
Well, so did LRH.
Really?
I mean, could have.
Okay. For all we know.
If you ask him,
if you pay him a nominal fee of $39.95, you'll
find
out.
But you're saying there is a difference between Thoreau and LRH?
I am saying there is
you're going to have to explain yourself.
A huge difference. This guy didn't write anything but science fiction. He wasn't
a
poet.
He's the most published author of all time. By comparison, I could say Thoreau didn't write anything. What did he write? Like three books?
He may be the most successful fictional author of all time. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
How many jazz albums
but
did
how
Thoreau
could you,
write?
How could he compare science fiction to like an impressionistic painting of wildlife, still life, or still life.
How could he not?
Wildlife, landscape, excuse me.
How could he not?
Well, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, the look on your face says it all. You can't see it at home, but it's a depressed perplexity.
It was really depressed for a minute there. I started to think about the last time I did
Eeyore
speed.
Eeyore watching his house fall down.
The last time I did speed, I can only imagine. You know what? I get this, man.
Well, so he's not saying that his work is like Walden. He's saying that he is isolating himself to work on this masterpiece, right?
Okay.
So he goes away for several years.
All right.
So this dedication and selfless servitude would result in perhaps the most beloved work of Scientology music, 1982, Space Jazz.
Space Jazz.
Written by LRH as the soundtrack to the book and eventual movie Battlefield Earth. with John Travolta himself in it. Okay. Space Jazz features a variety of musicians, and it's mostly put together, it's composed by LRH, but mostly played by Chick Corea and Isaac Hayes.
Dude.
Among other notable musicians.
I had no idea guy's roots went so deep.
We're going to take a listen.
Chick Corea.
Take a listen to some of the, we're going to take a listen to a song called Wind Splitter by LRH from Space Jazz.
From Battlefielder.
This is unaltered.
It's the worst thing ever.
Ah, I've been listening to this for hours. Ah, I just wanted to bash my head against the wall. Oh, God. There's horse noises.
Come on, man. Are you kidding me with this shit? Did you just, like, make this in GarageBand, before you got here?
I wish I was that smart.
And people thought this
was good. It's like being forced to watch an Al-Qaeda beheading, dude. He was like, So, Sean, give us your impressions of Space Jazz.
Well, I literally thought that you were playing a joke on me.
I don't understand. Why?
It was...
Was it the horse noises or the theremin?
No, the horse noises didn't even get to me. It was just the fact that it's nonsense.
It is
It's the
horrible.
Simplest or generic jazz drums with just random... fucking chords over it.
It sounds like a 15-year-old got stoned and tried to make something on GarageBand.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I thought you were playing a joke.
There's no joke at all. Bad. Unaltered, completely untouched. Man. But I mean, of course, for having already given out so much, not just to the music world as a whole, but to the entire universe. LRH, he's got to be done by now, right?
He's saving everybody.
He can't get any better, right? He's got nowhere to go but down. Wrong again, Sean.
Oh, are you serious?
You underestimate LRH again. In 1986, 4 years later, Edgar Winter recorded yet another companion piece to Battlefield Earth.
What is wrong with these fucking idiots?
This one, again, was produced by LRH, and it's called Mission Earth. The lyrics are literally just LRH writings said to music. We're going to take a listen to that now. Let Sean have a sample. This is basically, you know that scene in, what's that movie about the Osama killing raid? The Zero Dark Thirty, where they lock the guy in the box and they keep playing horrible music and stuff. This is basically what I'm doing to Sean.
It's essentially waterboarding of the ears.
Yeah, he's just sucking down
my
line
life,
by the...
My life force is getting dwindling as we speak. I'm
a shell of a human being right now.
I am seconds away from passing out.
Yeah, I feel lightheaded. I felt viscerally nauseous
if this does not break through and cut very clear to the listeners... We are disgusted to the core with this man's music.
I'm not.
Well, I think it's time for you to leave.
Fair enough. No, so we're gonna give Sean yet another sample.
Oh, I can't take much more, man.
Give me.
I only have like a whole.
It's like I'm passing out frozen kale samples at Costco. Like, do you want some frozen kale? No, I don't want frozen kale.
I don't want.
No, come on.
Kale.
Try some frozen kale.
I don't want
Sean,
fucking
it's
tofu
good for you.
Hot dogs. Go fuck yourself,
Sean.
With this
you want
shit.
Some frozen spinach?
No.
I got frozen egg white omelet.
No, man. Give me the whole egg. What the hell's wrong with you?
Couldn't get the whole egg. Okay. LRH ate the yolk. He's a yolk guy.
He's a yolk man.
So we're gonna give Sean a sample of the Mission Earth album, which is this is the most highly rated album of all these Scientology albums. So we'll get to listen to it here.
Come on, man. I'm getting so depressed with this.
You aren't even started. You think you're fucking depressed, dude?
I've been writing this script. I've been writing this awesome, happy-go-lucky script and thinking I had it tough. Thinking I had it tough talking about wartime and shit like this. And this doesn't even hold a... You can't even hold a candle in this November rain.
You Man, I'm pretty sure LRH wrote November Rain.
Well, at least he wrote the, he directed the music video, because that shit is nonsense.
That is pretty true. Mission Earth, Edgar Winter. Okay, listen to this shit, dude.
This is kind of cool. Alright.
Look at the album cover, so it's Edgar Winter as a pink Gandalf. Your face.
My face hurts.
It's like I'm making you watch snuff films.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
It is really something else. So next, during that very same year, a group of Scientologist musicians recorded an album called The Road to Freedom.
Of course.
Based on L. Ron's lyrics and recordings, the first track off the album is sung by John Travolta, 1970s teen idol Leif Garrett, and Frank Stallone, and features awesome Scientology speak lyrics like, "To you there is no limit, knowledge is your key, take the route of auditing, and once again be free."
I am literally at a loss for words.
The amount of...
I have nothing like to say. Can we just stop now? Can I go to bed?
Absolutely not. I did not come all the way here to let you puss out on me halfway through. Here we go. I'm going to play a little sample here. This is John Travolta, Leif Garrett, and Frank Stallone singing.
I'm digging this. Digging this right now. I'm not going to lie.
This is funky, dude.
Pretty fucking cool.
Look at the album cover. The Road to Freedom. Help us free all that's coming.
Shit, I forgot he could sing.
Yeah. Triple threat, daddy. Get on the world of freedom. A real common theme in Scientology songs is they will repeat that chorus 44 times, dude.
Right.
Those, like, you're going to see in our upcoming songs here that those songs, like, they are so chorus heavy. They've got, like, a verse and a half, and the rest of it is just, like, repeat the verse, repeat the chorus.
I'm not
going to
lie, man, though. I kind of like that one.
Dude. Wait till you see what you're going to have. don't say that that's your favorite.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to say that's my favorite.
They released this whole album called Road to Freedom, right? And it's got Johnny, it's got Edgar Winter, it's got Isaac Hayes, it's got Leif Garrett, John Travolta, Frank Stallone, who else on there? Just
True GV's top funniest.
It's just got essentially tons and tons of all these famous Scientologists.
What in the hell? Are they all Scientologists?
Yes. Or they were at one point. I'm not saying that they currently are, but they were involved in this album. So
that
to
makes
help
sense.
To help non-Scientologists, lucky enough.
I would have seen Edgar Winter coming, but
yeah, I mean Isaac Hayes kind of like totally did a 180 in the Scientology
Isaac
deal.
Isaac Hayes, I would not have. But Scientology, I would not see Trey Parker working with Isaac Hayes if he was a devout Scientologist.
He was. He quit after the Scientology episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a new podcast episode? Just happening.
I don't know how we'd make a new podcast episode out of that, but. Well. Sure, why not? Yeah, when we make them out of this, we make them out of fucking anything. So the Road to Freedom contains in the liner notes.
Usually what I do is I just like pile a whole bunch of papers together and then light the ones that on the edges on fire, and whichever ones are like still recognizable, that's what we work with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's working so far.
It's called the L. Ron Hubbard method.
LRH
method.
Excuse me.
That's another thing, is there's so many acronyms in Scientology. They included a glossary of Scientology terms in the liner notes.
I'm cringing right now.
This is a cringe heavy episode.
This is terrible, man.
And it's not even, like, we're not even
just,
close
just
to the cringiest
go
shit.
Home,
yeah.
Man.
So to help, they include this glossary of Scientology
of
terms.
Of course they
like
do. It's
auditing.
Another thing to sell.
It's just another way to get their message out there. So it's just in this weird. It's recorded in a. I think it's only in English. So there's no like other translations of it. So there's like if you're a Japanese Scientologist, you're kind
of
shit out of
luck. This is a recording of the acronyms.
No, it's just the, it's just a, like a paper glossary.
Okay.
So you can like figure out what the hell they're talking about, because they don't do any explaining in the songs. They just say like, you need the ARC, or like auditing is, there's one that's like says okay. auditing is the answer or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds like an super awesome, catchy, super awesome catchy. Riff.
So there's another one cobbled together 15 years after Hubbard's death in 2000.
Instead of Panama, it's like, ah, da ding, bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Hot for Elrond.
Hot for Elrond.
So 15 years after Hubbard died, they released a cobbled together collaboration album.
I got a bed.
These all of
these. I got
these,
a bed. I'm forever.
So his next album was called "The Joy of Creating."
Oh God!
And it basically all these. Albums,
well, he was a sexual deviant, was he not?
I mean, he was everything deviant.
I mean, he yeah. had. What did he have? Like children, like bathing him.
Yeah, just a total twisted cult. Psycho, weirdo, madman. And he really believed, like, he was... I don't know if he really believed it, but it seems like he really did to go through all the trouble of putting out these albums.
It's the creative... Once you get carried away with that... It's like what we were talking about outside with this whole method acting. And I was wondering, like, if Tom Cruise really believes he's head of Mission Impossible...
I mean, he believes he's like a real hero, that's for sure.
Right, so does LRH really think in his mind that Scientology is real? Or is he still just fucking making this shit up as he goes just because it's fun for him?
He's the most...
He might be a genius.
Well, yeah, he's a genius at making stuff up. He's the most published fiction writer of all time. So, like, he's got a real talent for just making up shit.
Well, I mean, the Bible is fiction to an extent.
I mean, it's... cobbled together from a bunch of writings. Like people will use that to like discredit
I'll tell you right now, born and raised Catholic, but if any Catholic takes the Bible literally, they're go fuck yourself.
Well, taking the Bible literally is more like a Baptist.
Right. Thing. Maybe. But that's what I'm saying is like, I mean, how can he possibly be the most published author of all time? Fictional author of all time. What about
if you're counting the Bible as a work of fiction? Well, I mean,
I'm speaking on a publishing level. So like the most published book of all time might be like the Bible or something like that.
Yeah.
Then what would be next? Like LRH?
Well, he's got the record for like I think that's also a conglomeration of authors though.
Oh wow.
Because it's not just one person that wrote the Bible.
Right.
It's a conglomeration of books. So he's the one that has like the most titles to one singular name. That's L. Ron Hubbard.
Dude, I mean, I'm kind of envious to an extent.
I mean, he's just a total shithead.
I told you I want a ship at the beginning of this episode.
So there's the next album they put out is called The Joy of Creation, and it's like another collaboration, right? But it's got Dougie Fresh. It's got Chick Corea.
No way.
It's got Isaac Hayes. It's got Edgar Winters. It is notoriously hard to find online. I couldn't find a copy of it. I've heard like a copy of the Dougie Fresh song. It's all just recitings of LRH's writings. It's really bizarre. But the thing is, that's not... the most bizarre thing I found. I literally got to this point. I got to this point.
I can't take much more than this, man.
I know. I got to this point.
No, what? I haven't heard from Brandon in a week. He has been, you know, kept up in a room somewhere
deficient.
In West Texas. Yep. And is pale. His skin is yellow right now.
Compound living.
God, man.
So this, I got to this point.
Covered, mind you. It is kind of cold here. He has a bear skin around him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, West Texas bearskin.
It's really just this fat guy.
it's a dude named Bear. So I got to this point too where I thought, okay, dude. I thought this was the end. I thought, okay, I'm about ready to close the laptop. I finish it off. Joy of Creation, that's where it ends. But Sean,
dude,
I was wrong.
Yeah, I might as well just say it because I'm already at almost rock bottom here. So I can't go up. I can only go down. So bring me down so I can come back up.
You can most certainly go down, my friend. So Scientology had a kids band called Kids on Stage for a Better World that ran a weekly kids show called CC Kids. And it had a bunch of soundtracks on it. All this music was written and produced by the Scientology Music Department band. And there's a podcast episode on the Joe Rogan Experience. They
had a music department.
Yeah, they have a huge complex out in the desert.
Did they have an educational facility as well?
Like, yeah, I mean, these people are disengaged from society completely and just live and exist in that compound. So they taught, like,
math and
I don't know if they do it for kids. I think it's all adults that have detached from society and just go out to work for the church. And this guy, Ron Miscavige, who is the father of David Miscavige, who's the current head of the church, talks about how that relationship fell apart.
Church, quote unquote.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He talks about how life was there, and while he was a musician in the Scientology band.
Okay.
So he was a drummer or something like that for the house band.
He was the idiot playing the snare drum.
Good point. Maybe. So they would have 6 events a year that needed to have promotional videos. These big elaborate promotional videos for LRH. Made with all this music behind him.
Are we talking about still 1980s?
1980s, 90s, 2000s, even up to today.
When did he die?
LRH?
Yeah.
In 1986.
Okay.
If you believe that he actually transcended from this world.
Xanadu, what's it called?
Who knows?
Is it called Xanadu?
Yeah, he's dead. Fuck you, Elrond. No. LRH. But yeah, fuck Elrond. All cranked out. Let's see, 6 promotional events a year.
Well, yeah, fuck you, because I had to sit through this nonsense.
You haven't sat through anything yet, friend. All this music was made by unpaid church members, and they were essentially being held hostage on this compound out in this Southern California town called Hemet. It's out in the middle of the desert.
I guess if you don't know any better, it seems like
it's a real showbiz, like, creepy thing. They got all these kids recruited. They make this band called the Kids on Stage for a Better World. They put out this weekly, I think, maybe monthly television show that goes out to Scientologists everywhere and, like, on local cable access and stuff. Here's a song of theirs called, you want to come around here and check out this music video. This is part of the visual experience. I encourage you to check this out on YouTube, called Starts With Me from 1993. Get busy and follow through. Making our plans. Dude, look at
him in shock.
It has another minute of just chorus. All it is chorus. Like, they say that chorus, whatever chorus they have, they say it 1,000 times.
Starts with you. Gotta get busy. Gotta live. Making our plans. Setting our goals.
A new song talks about setting goals. What the fuck is going on?
You're trying to take over the world, man.
Setting on goals.
God. I don't even know what to say, man. Like, I feel dizzy. I feel regret.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big... Why don't you give us your recap, Sean? Having seen... Now you've absorbed the entire LRH discography. You've gotten to experience the wonderful, boundless sonic world of Scientology. What are your thoughts now?
I mean, honestly, they're the same as before the episode.
You're just more traumatized.
But I want a boat more and more and more.
Yeah, you do look like you want to take the world over. No, you look like I just duct taped you to a chair and made you watch the entire Saw anthology.
I'm all sweaty.
Your eyes are bugged out.
My eyes are bugged out. My face is blush.
You look like you smoked a pack of cigarettes in like 6 minutes.
I mean, like, I'm barely even sitting up at this
point. You do not look well. So we're going to close this out before Sean kills over.
God, man.
In the end.
This has been terrifying.
In the end. Like, you would argue that Scientology's contribution to modern music and the music of the future, obviously, is without equal.
It starts with me.
It starts with you. Gotta get busy. So if like my poor, poor lost friend Sean here, you are lost in a world awash in uncertainty, take some time to sit and reflect on your thetan levels and enjoy the music and genius
of
possibly the sleaziest piece of shit human being to ever exist, L. Ron Hubbard. That is the music of Scientology.
There we go, man. Oh, what I'm so an glad to have that out of my head. Has been, man. I am glad. I can literally see a weight being lifted off of your shoulders right now.
I tell you
he
what, dude.
He is sitting up straighter, and as the straighter he stands, the more crippled I get. So, no, I have to carry this around with... This weight is going to be on my shoulders.
The burden has been transferred.
It's like the Ring Man. Now, I got to show this to someone else.
It's and it'll never stop.
It will it'll never
keep on going.
Ever stop.
So don't forget to get out there, your local record store, support your favorite LRH recording. I
dare you to go to the local record store and ask for this album.
If they're in the dollar bin, you're being grossly overcharged.
All right, so that music video was really well produced, though.
Yeah, it's because they've got millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it was maybe like a PBS quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And probably, I mean, like, it would be on par with most, like, major network television shows, because a lot of those people are the same people producing those shows.
I didn't know how deep this shit
was. This is all deeply embedded in Hollywood, so this is all...
This was 80s.
These are Scientologists' kids, and most Scientologists have jobs in
multi-generational.
In absolutely.
Oh, man. How did we get so lucky as to not give a fuck?
Because we're not so stupid that we believe
that what if Elron one of Hubbard, our listeners is a Scientologist?
Well, then they'd be psyched on this episode because they got to listen to all their favorite songs. Yeah. So a win-win.
All right. So I don't have very much music on my phone, per se.
Well, you should put Road to Freedom on there.
But I am right putting now. Road to Absolutely. Freedom on right now.
Watch those theme levels plummet. So we want to thank you for tuning in to All Damn Night. I hope you had a good time.
Oh,
thanks for hanging out.
God, it has been a journey like none other.
It's been a rough one. Thanks for hanging in there with us. If you need
listeners, I'm with you. I am in the same boat as y'all. I am on the Apollo with everybody else.
We're
here
all
listening.
On the same Apollo, just looking for our stars, man.
Oh man.
So if you want more All Damn Night, we are in the process of cranking out some more more content, some different ideas we'll be coming out with soon. Check us out at Instagram.com.
We need
slash
to put some
All Damn Night podcast.
Yeah.
We got those are up. Those are up.
Okay.
The two from the last one are all up.
Right.
So thanks for calling me out live on air here, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, okay. Then we have we're on Facebook, All Damn Night Podcast.
Email us, please.
Email us any show ideas, questions, comments, alldamnnightpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/alldamnnight. If you have, again, any questions, comments, ideas, if you'd like to support the show, check us out. Sean, tell us about the Patreon real quick.
Like we said in the last episode, it's still in the inaugural stages.
It's coming along,
It's coming along. What we need to do is get the voice of the listeners. What we want is your opinion. What path should we take for our next episode? Or maybe like a once a month episode?
We'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear it. And we will do it.
And we're looking forward to it.
Because I can't take much more of this.
This is an interactive experience. No, and Sean is a broken man. We're going to need some help here.
My dog is looking at me like there's something wrong with
it. It knows that his eyes are now dead.
Oh,
so thanks for hanging out with us again on All Damn Night. And we will see you next week.